May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. In the Gospel according to Luke, after the familiar story of Palm Sunday, while everyone is still praising the Lord, and the Lord is having a minor discussion with the Pharisees, he draws near to the city, and still outside of it, he sees it, and he weeps. And he says, O thou hadst known, even thou, and indeed in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, and thine enemies shall cast a rampart around thee, and shall surround thee, and shall beset thee on every side, and shall lay thee level with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee stone upon stone, because thou knew not the time of thy visitation. It is easy for historians to think when reading this passage, even with a Christian attitude of affirmation, to think that this was a prophecy of the fall of Jerusalem 40 years hence. But it was not. The writings for the new church tell us explicitly multiple times when explaining this passage that it is not about the fall of Jerusalem. As anyone can see, in that Jerusalem still stands. It is not true that the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. They did destroy the temple, and after hundreds and hundreds of years and dozens of wars, it is true that not one stone of that temple stands upon another stone. But Jerusalem still stands. So what is this prophecy about? It is about the falling of a church. In this case, the falling of the Jewish church. But the writings for the new church make it clear to us again, lest we be mistaken, that it is not for the falling of only the Jewish church, but for any church. For any group of people who seek to follow the Lord from his word, this is how they fall. And it is worth knowing how a church and the people in it fall, because then we can better appreciate Easter and how the Lord can rise us back up. So let us examine the prophecy in detail. First, we should recognize that the Lord is weeping. The Lord does not want churches to fall. He does not want any of us to go into the kind of despair and darkness that we're about to discuss. He would rather all of us take the easy road into Canaan, to simply shun every evil that comes upon us and accept every good and truth. That's what the Lord has planned for us. But he knows, as he knew then, that we are weak and that though our spirit may be willing, our flesh is weak. Then the Lord says, Oh, that thou hadst known, even thou, and indeed in this day, the things which belong to thy peace. If you had only known what brings you peace. The Jews at the time thought that what brought them peace was cooperating with the enemy, living peacefully with the Romans. And you can see how they came to this conclusion. When they were first taken by the Babylonians, the prophets of the Lord told them, "Let the Babylonians take you. Do not fight." They fought anyway, and it was only worse. Later, the Persians took over the Babylonians, and the Jews learned from the Persians that if they cooperated, the Persians would pay to rebuild their temple. The very temple we're talking about that gets destroyed is the temple that the Persians, including Darius, rebuilt for them. Later, the Greeks conquer the Persians. And again, the Jews try to put up a fight, and it does not go well. Then they learn to cooperate, and it goes much better. They get to keep their temple. Later, the Romans come, and they conquer them. And this time, the Jews only pretend to put up a fight. They set up their barricades, but as soon as somebody sends them a letter saying, "Give up," they give up. And now they're in full cooperation. They have learned to work with the Romans because they think peace for Jerusalem is political. And you can see how they came to that conclusion. And the Lord sees how they came to that conclusion. It's why the Lord weeps, because they were natural and they were looking at a natural peace. But peace, as we learn in our reading from Heaven and Hell, walks hand in hand with innocence. This is because every good of heaven is from innocence. Divine peace comes into existence from the conjunction of the Lord with heaven, and especially from the conjunction of good and truth with any one angel or person. Heaven on earth is the Lord's church. So peace for the Lord's church comes about through the conjunction of good and truth in that church. That's peace. Peace is the feeling that comes from that conjunction. So the Jews at the time, and this is a warning for us all, were not conjoining good and truth. The Pharisees are a perfect example of it. The Pharisees were some of the most well-educated Jews at the time. They were practiced in the law, and they had with them a long, thousand-year-old tradition of oral interpretation of the law. But they had added to the law with this oral interpretation. And they had made the oral interpretation of the word more important than the word itself. So, whether or not you wash your hands before eating, or whether or not you give the right proper donation, becomes more important than whether or not you love your neighbor. A traditional saying of the rabbis today, who are descendant from the Pharisees, is that no law is greater than another. But we know from the Pharisees' discussion with Jesus about the greatest commandment that some commandments are indeed greater than others. Namely, to love the Lord is the first and great commandment, and to love the neighbor is the second. Think of the Pharisees arguing against that, saying, "No, those are important, but they're not the first and greatest commandment. They're on equal footing with washing your hands." That sounds like the death of a church. Then the Lord says, "But now, these things which belong to thy peace are hidden from thine eyes. You cannot see them. For the day shall come upon thee, and thine enemies shall cast a rampart around thee, and shall surround thee, and shall beset thee on every side, we all have enemies. And our greatest enemy is ourselves. Evil spirits don't work by taking us over. They work with what we already have within us. They come and stir up our natural selves, what seems natural to us, our love of self. They're not working with something that isn't there. They're working with what is inside us. And those enemies will set up ramparts around us and surround us and beset us on every side. And if confronted by that love of self being stirred up, we turn to the word and we think foolishly that all the commandments are the same, and that washing our hands is as equal as loving the Lord or loving the neighbor, we will certainly fall to them. And the Lord describes what will fall. And they shall lay thee level with the ground, and thy children within thee. Children represent innocence, that willingness to obey, at first from ignorance, but later through wisdom. Being willing to obey. If evil is beset upon us, and we feel that conflict in temptation between our love of self and our willing and wanting to follow the Lord, but we don't know that some truths are more important than others, that we don't know that truth must be married to good, to love, then that willingness to obey will be destroyed. That innocence within us. We can begin to think that we're too smart to be a child, that we're above all of that, and that we can start being like a Pharisee and arguing this point of doctrine against that, and not remember the greatest commandments, to love the Lord and love our neighbor. And they shall not leave in thee stone upon stone. These stones are those truths that the Lord has built up in us. Within every person in the church, the Lord has built a temple of mighty stones. Some of these stones were large enough that they were tons and tons. Some were 13 feet long. These are huge stones. And those are the stones that will not be laid one upon another. The temple will be that destroyed. Because rather than having our truths build a foundation for a temple, it's a flat plain. All the truths are the same. Because we've forgotten that the most important truth is to love the Lord and to love the neighbor. All those other truths serve those. And why did this happen? Because thou knew not the time of thy visitation. They didn't know when it was coming. We don't know when temptation will come. The Lord teaches us why it comes, because we've committed to something good, and that good that we've committed to conflicts with our natural selves. But we don't know when that dark hour of despair will strike. And that's what Heaven and Hell 289 is telling us about. This is true, that peace is a conjunction of good and truth. Also of a man who is being reborn or regenerated. As soon as, in his case, a conjunction of good and truth comes about, which takes place especially after temptations, he comes into a state of delight from heavenly peace. This only comes about if we can join good with truth. If we take all the truths that the Lord teaches us about how often we should examine ourselves, about whether or not we should take the Holy Supper, about what it means to obey the Sabbath, if we don't conjoin that with good, with a recognition that we have a heaven from the human race, which is a people ruled by a love of God and the neighbor, if we don't remember those two great commandments as being the greatest commandments and marry them in our hearts for good, then when temptations come, we may fall. Next week is Easter. And it can sound pretty dark to talk about the fall of a church. But let's leave with one last ray of hope. Let's return to the Jews and the Pharisees. With every church, there is a remnant after it falls. And with us, when we enter despair, the Lord draws even closer. And through those struggles, the Lord will leave something good and true with us. We can see this in the Pharisees. First, just obviously, the disciples were Jews, and they seemed to come out all right in the end. And secondly, just as importantly historically, the Pharisees became rabbis. Rabbis have done amazing good for the world and continue to lead people with the Lord's word to good. The Lord continually works with what is left. And with us, even if it should look like the church is falling, the Lord will never let his people be without his presence. And no matter how dark it gets in our lives on earth, we can always return to the Lord. Amen. Now to the one God of heaven and earth, who is, and who was, and who is to come. Amen.